Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning.
You're doing okay today?
I am. Couldn't be better. Busy day today. School starting again.
You know, it has been a pretty hectic week. We've had all kind. The last couple of weeks have been pretty.
It's been a hectic summer.
Yeah. Well, we had. I posted this on Facebook when I put out the initial schedule for this week's podcast, mm-hmm. and on our Facebook page, and. We had a couple that were sort of to be determined, to be announced, the topics, because we didn't have them yet by that time.
Cause that would be today and tomorrow.
That's true. And even Saturday, because we had three interviews
with
people scheduled last week that we were going to post over the next couple of weeks, and all three of those interviews fell through.
They had to reschedule for various reasons.
Yeah.
But we do have one coming up, right?
We're going to interview someone tomorrow.
And then tomorrow morning.
Tomorrow night, and then Thursday morning, and those will go out the next couple of weeks. So
we're pulling that one out. But no, it has been a hectic summer, and not just for us,
right?
I mean, it's been a very busy here at in the office. But parents are saying the same thing, and I think it's because school is starting a little bit earlier this year.
Yeah,
here in
it
the South,
ended later, and it's starting earlier.
That's right. So mm-hmm. so the summer was truncated. Mm-hmm. It was really shortened, and I think it. People seem to rush through the summer mm-hmm. to get their vacations in and everything. And schools, the teachers are back, and yeah. The kids go back. Today's Tuesday. They go back Thursday.
Right.
To school.
Yeah. Well, the day that this podcast posts is the day they'll be going back. So welcome back mm-hmm. to school, everybody.
Yeah. First day.
Yeah.
Oh.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it. What?
This is the first time in 20 years
mm-hmm.
that I don't have to get up and pack lunches.
That's right, because all of your kids
are now graduated.
Finished.
All of my children have graduated. The baby starts college in 2 weeks.
The baby.
She's the baby, right? Youngest of four.
That's it. Yeah.
So she starts college. So it's the first year in 20 years that I don't have to get backpacks and pencils and go to after school shop, before school, whatever it is, tax holidays and before school shopping.
So that means that. You should be to work on time on Thursday.
Yeah, I'll get here at 4 a.m. Right. Okay.
All right. Well,
and the coffee will be on.
It was this morning when you got here.
It was. Got here about 4:30. Was it 4:30? Mm-hmm. Yeah, about 4:30.
Yeah.
Okay. I work with a madman. You remember the Netflix? It's on Netflix now.
Yeah.
Mad Men.
Right.
I work with one.
Who?
You. You're a madman.
Well.
I didn't know that stood for Madison Avenue, the advertisers on Madison Avenue, Mad Men.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I thought that's because they were crazy. I've never watched the show, though.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
So, all right. Well, you know what? There's something else that I want to say before we get started on this topic.
I know what it is.
So
but you can't show it.
So yesterday, I get a package in the mail.
This is great.
And it says that
it's
to you and I.
Right.
And it says to attention to us. And so I open it up, and there's pairs of socks.
Which is exactly what we ordered.
And I was thinking, what is it? So I turned it around, and I see that our friend from New Jersey, Noreen.
My friend from New Jersey.
Sent us.
My former friend from New Jersey.
This is great.
Yeah, this is the good
part.
Sent
us socks, which is fantastic, because, you know, like, I mean, I wear bow ties. You wear your
ties. Because we wear socks.
Well, we do. And but I also like funky socks and stuff like that. So I wear different kinds of socks.
But by the way, for those of you who don't know, because you can't see it, these funky bow ties match funky socks, but you can't see the socks.
That's right.
So he's like this little thing, like this Mr. Potato Head every day. He's got this funky bow tie and then these funky socks at the bottom.
So Noreen sent us socks, and I'm going to show.
Oh, for you're going to show them anyway.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to get my foot up here.
Oh!
They have soccer balls on them. I didn't have any soccer socks prior to that. So, Noreen, thank you very much for the soccer socks.
Now let's get to the let's get to the other issue here.
Richard's socks have dinosaurs on them because our discussion.
You just can't help yourself. I love it.
Because our discussion the other day about the DSM, she said that she got dinosaur socks for you since you were around in the age and the days of the DSM-1. So
the DSM-1 was published in 1952. Noreen, I'm happy to announce that I was around in 1952.
In the age of the dinosaurs.
I look pretty good for 87, don't I? Noreen, you're the best. You are the absolute best. So I got dinosaur socks because I'm too old to play sports or something. So, no, because I'm old. I'm old and right. I smell like a dinosaur.
Well, I wasn't going to tell anybody. Wait until Smell-O-Vision comes out.
Then I have to quit.
That's right.
No, Noreen, you're the best.
Noreen, thank you so much.
That brightened up a day. We were rushing around here yesterday, and we had patients in and out, and we were running around the office, and I was late yesterday for some reason. And so Bernie said, no, you got to come to my office right now.
Mm-hmm.
And we laughed.
It was great.
We laughed for longer than we had. That was great. So thank you, Noreen, for brightening up an otherwise dull Monday.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So,
and for you other listeners, we like bow ties and neckties and chocolates. And so whatever, you know.
That's right. That's so funny. It was great.
Great day.
So thank you very much. But now we're gonna shift gears from this
frivolity.
Well, we could make the transition by saying that we're addicted to socks
and bow ties.
Right. But we're gonna talk today about this notion of addiction.
Yeah, because and why are we talking about this today?
This week fits in with the week. Right, mm-hmm. right. This week we're kind of talking about. We're sort of challenging some of our notions about mental health and psychology in general because of the way that we are approaching it in popular media, the way that we're approaching it sometimes in clinical practice, because we were talking about, for example, the whole idea of diagnoses. You know, everything is a diagnosis now,
right.
And we have to make diagnoses all the time. Well, today we're going to focus on the issue of addiction because, my word, it seems like every time you turn around, there's a new addiction to something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's addicted to video games. He's addicted to cell phones.
She's addicted to her cell phone.
You know, they're addicted to, you know, this kind of food or that kind of activity.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, I just have a problem with that.
Well, it fits in with the whole notion of, is it a mental illness?
Right.
And people today say, oh, she's bipolar. She's acting like shit. She's bipolar. You know, my youngest asked me one time, she said, do I have bipolo? And I said, no, I don't think you have bipolo. Because it's in the news. People hear it. She has OCD. Mm-hmm. You know, he's got ADHD.
Right.
They throw these labels around.
Right.
But these labels are names of mental illnesses. And this and the mental illness issue is a very, very serious issue.
Right.
So the fact that your teenager is uses her cell phone almost constantly doesn't necessarily make that a mental illness. That's
right.
What we have to be careful of.
Right.
Is that most teenagers are attached to their phones.
Right.
They're not addicted to their
right.
phones. And we need to be very careful because an addiction is a serious mental illness.
Right.
So we have to be very careful when we throw these terms around.
Right.
You know, she's addicted to herself. We understand what you mean, but
right.
we need to be careful.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Because chances are you don't have a mental illness.
Right. There's, and perhaps, at least in part, it's because we work in this field that words such as that, you know, the use of those types of labels, we see as very problematic.
Right.
Because, you know, perhaps in the, you know, at the water cooler or, you know, in the stadium or wherever, to use words like addiction and OCD and things like that, you know, it doesn't carry quite the same weight.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that, well, we're going to kind of get into some of the problems that we see with using the word addicted or addiction when it comes to some of these
right.
activities.
Because one of the things that you and I have talked many, many, many times about mm-hmm. over the years. Many times people will come into our office with a pre-existing diagnosis.
Right.
And they'll come in and say, wow, he has it. And the first thing you and I do is, are we sure?
Right.
Are we really sure that, right, that this is an accurate diagnosis? Because as you mentioned earlier in the week, in our field, you have to render a diagnosis, right, in order to get reimbursed, right, by an insurance company. And so you have this impetus, mm-hmm, to make a diagnosis. On the other hand, it is a serious step to, right, say that this person has a mental illness.
Right.
Because when you fill out job applications, have you ever been diagnosed with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it does have implications.
Right.
So before we jump to a diagnosis, we need to be very, very careful.
Right.
Okay. And when you say to me, I think she's addicted, that means I understand what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But in everyday language, say, mm-hmm, well, she's addicted to her cell phone, has a whole different meaning.
Right.
So,
yeah.
You know, it depends how it's being used and who's using it. So, but I think we have to be very careful. Everything is not an addiction.
Right, right. So just to kind of set one final mm-hmm, pillar for the stage that we're going to, as we talk about some of the problems, I want to mention that, you know, sort of my criticism or our criticism,
right,
I'll include you on this, so it's not just me, our criticism of even the research in this,
right,
area.
Right.
Because what happens, and I'm sure that many who look into some of these things, or you read even newspaper articles that talk about studies and things like that, you know, the thing that they always talk about, mm-hmm, is it light ups the reward centers of the brain.
That's right. They use functional magnetic resonance, mm-hmm, imaging or PET scans or,
right,
or some kind of neuroimaging that we say lights up. It detects the activation in certain areas of the brain.
Right, mm-hmm, right. Or, and they say, you know, it lights up the brain in much the same way as cocaine, or it lights up the brain in much the same way as this, or, right, it does that, or, you know, the brain acts just like... And that, right, has... and that creates a validity to it, I think, that many people, well, at least from many, right, people's perspective, it adds a validity to it that's like, oh, well, then it must really be,
right,
serious. But just a little bit about how the brain actually works. Anything that you enjoy is going to light up those reward centers.
Right. It's the reward center of the brain. And anything that you find enjoyable is going to activate those neurons.
Right. Mm-hmm. So... anything. So if you love to read, if we put you in a
right,
functional MRI and we said, think about reading, or let's start reading, mm-hmm, some of those reward centers in your brain are likely to light up.
Right.
So it's not like you can look at the brain and say, oh, look, that person must have an addiction because those reward centers No, everyone's reward centers light up from, yeah, time to time, depending on what activity you're doing.
Yeah, it's a logical flaw because,
right,
you say alcohol lights up this region and it's an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Reading lights up this region, so it must be an addiction.
Right.
So there is a logical flaw,
right,
here that you have to be careful that you don't make.
Right.
Just because you light up a region that has been associated with addiction doesn't, mm-hmm, mean that that activity is an addiction.
Right, mm-hmm, right. So with all of that in place, some of the issues that we see,
right,
coming about as a result of addiction or of referring to everything as addiction is that, first off, it really takes away the importance or the significance issue
of addiction. That's the most important,
right,
issue, is that addiction is a serious mental illness, okay?
Right.
And it shouldn't be minimized,
right,
by saying that this, and this are also addictions.
Mm-hmm.
Addiction is a very serious mental illness.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you have, you know, I remember a number of years ago when a particular celebrity or athlete, you know, began having problems because he was... found to be cheating on his wife with multiple women, and there's, oh, well, he must have, you know, an addiction,
sex, right,
and you think, okay, well, maybe he does, but also maybe he's just not maybe he's just not faithful,
right,
you know,
mm-hmm,
maybe he's just not happy in his marriage, or maybe,
right,
you know, there's lots of other things, but we immediately go to this addiction, and so you see that, And, you know, many people looked at that very critically, looked at it like, right. And so they, it begins to take away the importance or significance of such an addiction.
Right.
And so then when you know someone or when you encounter a person who truly has that addiction, you begin to feel as though the issue or the challenge that person's experiencing is much less significant.
Right.
You don't value it. We automatically see it as what, you know, you just you should just get over it, or oh my gosh, everybody has that, or whatever. And it just really takes away the importance and significance of what we need to be working with those individuals.
Right. Right.
So
because the reward system is the reward system.
Right.
Doesn't matter how you activate it.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that you have an addiction.
Right.
I think that's the important issue. So how do we distinguish?
Right.
Okay. When is it an addiction?
Right.
I think is the next question.
And that's the important piece that we oftentimes omit.
Right.
And for something to be an addiction, and we mentioned this a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about functional alcoholics.
Right. That's right.
For something to truly be an addiction, there has to be an impairment in functioning.
Right. For us to make a diagnosis,
right.
there has to be an impairment. Many people have the symptoms of ADHD.
Right.
They're hyperactive, they're hyperreactive, they have a hard time paying attention, but they're not impaired in any way.
Right.
There are plenty of emergency room physicians who probably have ADHD,
right.
but they're not impaired by their ADHD.
Right.
So do you make the diagnosis?
Right.
No, you stop short of the diagnosis because there's no impairment.
Right. Yeah, so with addiction, unless there's an impairment, and the DSM-5 that we talked about the other day sets pretty, kind of identifies what we mean by impairment. It sort of sets some guidelines, and not that you even have to so specifically go by the DSM-5, but when you think about impairment, you're talking about a person who can't get to work without drinking or without using a substance, who... fails at obligations or misses obligations because of the need to use a substance or to do something, and so
it affects some area of your life,
right?
You know, like if you talk about a teenager being addicted, you're talking about school, that they can't get to school, or they can't function at school, or you talk about their relationships, family relationships, and peer relationships. If you're talking about an adult, it impairs their work life, or it impairs their family life, or their interactions with coworkers. Okay, but if there's no impairment, then you may not have to move to a diagnosis.
Right, and there, admittedly, is some gray because so if a person, you know, thinking about this athlete, if that person is unfaithful to his wife, that impairs that relationship. But that's also a choice. That's also, there's also so many other factors that get involved with that, you know, to determine whether or not it's truly a functional impairment versus just a, you know what, hey, he's just not happy at home, you know, and so he's going out and doing these other things.
That's right.
So you have to sort of look at the overarching picture. You can't just look at this one behavior. Cell phones, again, you can't just look at cell phone. You have a student who has straight A's, who has lots of friends, but
participates in extracurricular activities.
Right. But, you know, spends a lot of time on their cell phone. You can't say that person is addicted to their cell phone.
Show me the impairment.
Where's the impairment?
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And certainly the parents will say, well, they're not interacting with their family as much as they used to, and those kinds of things. But
which is probably a different issue than addiction.
Right,
okay.
Because that happens in adolescence anyways.
Right, right, that's right.
So, let's be cautious.
Right.
Let's break the addiction to referring to everything as an addiction.
Exactly. This whole addiction issue is about impairment, and it is a mental illness.
Right.
You're entering a very different arena when you talk about addiction.
Right.
So please do so with caution.
Right.
And the main reason is that if a person is really addicted, then everybody has to do something because addictions are very difficult to manage on your own.
Right.
So you're probably going to need some kind of social support somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
So they're hard to deal with. and you need some, and you need to get working on it, right. and you need to have additional help.
Yeah.
If it's not an addiction, then, and it probably isn't in most cases, it's
right.
not a true addiction, then you need to work on what the problem is.
Mm-hmm.
If your child isn't if your child isn't bringing is bringing her phone to the dinner table, and
mm-hmm.
that's interfering with things, that may not be an addiction. Just deal with that.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just prohibit the phone from coming to the table.
Mm-hmm.
That's the proper intervention. It doesn't require the kind of interventions we do for addiction.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So, all right. Well, that is it for today. So, until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.